All right, let's go to the big book on the coffee table, the Bible. First reading, both are kind of short readings today, but pithy, very pithy. Isaiah, the 48th chapter, the 17th verse and following. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Now, that'll be my word for the day. I'm pretty sure it's go well, but I'll talk about that later. The Holy One of Israel, I, the Lord your God, teach you what is for your good and lead you in a way you should go. If you would hearken to my commandments, your prosperity would be like a river. And then there's all sorts of promises. This is an important idea. There are two strains of thought about God. In Christianity, there are two strains of thought, and in the world of religion. The reformers believed that God was so sovereign that that he could change the Ten Commandments if he wanted to. And they also did not believe in free will. Martin Luther believed in in predestination, that there were those chosen for heaven. And Calvin believed in double predestination, that there were those chosen to show the justice of God, who went to hell, because we all deserve it, and those who showed the mercy of God and went to heaven, because none of us deserve it. So that was because if God is sovereign, if God is all-powerful, how can we resist grace? And other religions, other non-Christian religions, believe the same thing. Catholicism and Orthodox Judaism and Greek Orthodoxy and Orthodoxy believe in free will. Now, excuse me, this idea of I'm really much better. I keep saying that, but I am. I really am. This idea of free will flows from the idea of the nature of God. You know, there's a classic question asked. Can God make a stone so big that he himself could not move it? Those who believe in predestination and in the absolute sovereignty of God, to the detriment of other doctrines, would say, of course he can. He can do whatever he wants. But Catholicism and, I believe, Orthodoxy and Orthodox Judaism would say no, because that would be like me standing in front of a mirror, raising my left hand, then expecting the mirror image not to raise its hand. In other words, creation is not arbitrary. It is the reflection of the divine nature. Nature is not God. It's the reflection, however, of the nature of God, that just as a good seed can't produce bad fruit, as Jesus said. Well, does that make God limited? No, God is limited only by himself and his nature. In other words, God is not capricious. God is not arbitrary. Now, what does that mean? That means that there are certain commandments which flow from the very nature of God. For instance, God is faithfulness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God is generosity. Thou shalt not steal or covet. God is truth. Thou shalt not bear false witness, and so on. And God, as St. Paul tells us, is the very name from which fatherhood draws its authority in the world. God is the source of true family love. Thus, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. These commandments flow from his very nature. Thus, are not changeable. There are 613 laws in the Torah. We only follow 10 of them. Why? Well, because these are the ones that were not in any way arbitrary. They were not simply liturgical laws. They were not simply disciplinary laws. They flowed from the nature of God. So what that means is these commandments, these 10 commandments, are gifts from God. They are, in a sense, a self-revelation of God. And Jesus, who I always say is the Torah come to life, Jesus is the embodiment of that nature. So these are gifts. They're sort of a glimpse at the Messiah before the Messiah came. Now, I don't like stop signs, and I like stoplights even less, especially in Chicago. But I should be grateful to God every time I see a stoplight or a stop sign, because if it wasn't for stop signs, I would be roadkill. These things are lifesavers. God's commandments are there to teach us the truth. Now, I this is philosophically probably not good. I get lots of grief on this. But I've heard it said that it is easy to break the law of God as it is to break the law of physics. In other words, I go to a cliff and I say, I will now break the law of gravity and jump off the cliff. In a few seconds, I will find out that I couldn't break the law of gravity. I'm a mess. Roadkill on the bottom of the, never mind, I didn't go into it, but I'm in trouble. Well, you can't commit adultery either. Oh, of course you can, Father. No, you can't. You'll never find the love and the security in the arms of a lover that you find in the company of a spouse. You can't do it. You think that, well, I'm lonely, I'll commit adultery, and that'll solve my... No, it's going to make it a lot worse. You can't lie. Oof, are you kidding, Father? I lie all the time. No, you can't lie. Because, you see, it always catches up with you. You know, you're a kid, you say, Ma, I'm going to the library, and you're not going to the library, and you get home, and, oh, you're at the library. Yeah, Ma, I was at the library. Well, your aunt was in the library, and she didn't see you. I just spoke to her on the phone. She didn't see you. Well, I was upstairs. That's where she was. Well, you tell the first lie, you tell the second to cover the first, the third to cover the second, the fourth to cover the third, and so on. Eventually, you're caught. And even if you have what you could call a successful lie, you're always looking over your shoulder. Theft. I've never known a rich thief. And believe me, in my line of work, I've met a lot of thieves. You see, you can't break the commandments. You can violate them, but the consequences are inevitable. And if not in this world, in the world to come. So in that sense, it is not possible to break the commandments. Now, these are given to us to show us how to live, how to prosper in the world. So you should be grateful to God for the commandments. You know, it isn't, you know, when your kids and your parents say, go on up to bed, and we have this idea that as soon as we go up to bed, they roll back the rug, invite the friends over, and that's when the party starts. No, you got to get some sleep, and they will like get some sleep too. But we have this idea that law is arbitrary and that some nasty, unkind being is prohibiting all the fun stuff. And that's not true. If you would hearken to my commandments, your prosperity would be like a river. These are not arbitrary things. These are the way that things work, the commandments, and one should rejoice in them. That phrase, O Lord, I love your law, is still quite applicable to the Christian. But we believe that Jesus, the Messiah, is the one who embodies the law and teaches us how to fulfill it perfectly and completely.